Hey guys, and welcome to Questions You Have, Answers I Give. And this is episode 84, divisible by 3. So it is not only a Patreon bonus, but it is a Patreon all access bonus. So welcome to the content, to our regular feed listeners on iTunes, Downcast, and other platforms. So we have got a bunch of questions to get through. Well, not get through, to enjoy, to savor, to tangent off. And next episode, I'm going to tackle all the ones about the scoring of the Rise of Skywalker episodes. There's already a bunch, some quite meaty responses. So I look forward to chomping on that. Don't forget that all 3 acts are now up on every feed. And for patrons, there's a new Robber Report, episode 29, Poison Ewoks, and we also cover The Mandalorian, episode 6, The Prisoner, but plenty of fun Star Wars chat before that with Robbo. There is 1981 of Star Wars Year by Podcast, both parts, both 1981 part 1, which was all access, and then Patreon exclusive part 2 with Horst Burkhardt, and an all access Page Wars episode 10 with King Tom Chansky, where we go through the rise of Skywalker. So check out all that stuff for all access and patron alike. So if you want to get in a comment about the Rise of Skywalker scoring episodes, your thoughts, your feelings, you can chuck it at the bottom of this patron episode. The link will be in the show notes, and I'll go through that towards the end of the week. Ryan Costa asks, "Hey Steele, really enjoyed your take on what the final scene of The Rise of Skywalker should have been. That would have been such a better ending and a huge prequel hug." Thank you, Ryan. It's a complex question, but what major changes would you make to the prequel trilogy that you feel would enhance it? Right off the bat, easy. Clone trooper costumes. Get those clones. Get Tamira Morrison in a white suit and then replicate him. We'll get other people in white suits with green face masks on, and then they can get photoshopped later on with Tamira Morrison. But definitely, I love the conclusion to Attack of the Clones, but there are parts of it where I am very taken out of it, and I just feel like I'm watching the Clone Wars cartoon. And I've seen comparisons and of troops. Yeah, the troops are sort of assembling right at the end, and Yoda's like, "Begun the Clone Wars have." I did Yoda as Emperor Palpatine, and that was very, I'm always inventing. Winslow, what an inspiration. That, where they're all sort of getting, what do they call that, gathering, assembling? There's a word for that. Where they, an army sort of, anyway, that doesn't matter. Staging, where they're staging. Oh, yes, comes through with a basic word. Thank you. Where they're staging, and then a shot from the Clone Wars, and they do look very, very similar. So that is a very basic surface level change. I kind of think in a story level, don't start Anakin Skywalker out so young. Have the same actor the whole way through. Have him be a teenage podcasting prodigy? Because the 10-year, I don't know, I got so set in Star Wars films come out every 3 years and they jump in time about every 2 years. That's the original trilogy as far as I can ascertain. Well, definitely coming out every 3 years. I can lock that one in, okay? But, yeah, so then the 10-year gap, I always was like, yeah. So definitely the easiest thing is get some vac-formed white plastics.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stuff. And wrap that around Tamir Morrison. And then get rid of the 10-year gap. And then I think you got to talk directors. But you're talking about the script. Not really. Yeah, okay. So, I would say, bring in Ron Howard. Works well with George Lucas and is a far better actor's director than GL. But if we're playing by the same rules, I would say those two things I just said. What do you think, Ryan? People can chime in with their thoughts. What other things? I would have liked to have had more Cypher Dios. I would have liked to have had a firm grasp on that. Maybe if in Revenge of the Sith, after Palpatine comes out as the Emperor or the as Darth Sidious, they could work out that the Emperor killed Cypher Dios. He could just tell Yoda. Just cackle. Ah, I killed Cypher Dios and ordered the clones. You fell for it. Blah, lightning, lightning, lightning. Because I would have liked to have ended the trilogy knowing that one. And also when Count Dooku was talking about Qui-Gon Jinn, like where would have Qui-Gon Jinn fallen? Could he? Yeah, it's that, like, that whole little storyline was very interesting. And what other things? Probably don't chop Darth Maul in half or something, like, just so he could come back. Chop his arm off. Chop his arm off and have robot arm Maul. Spider arm Maul. You could have 8 tentacles. Well, no, that wouldn't be fair. Because he's got his. So he could have 5 tentacles coming out to become Spider Maul through the armpit. So there you go. Thank you, Ryan. Michael Nip. How you doing, Michael? If either Mendo or Toro could be resurrected for season 2 of The Mandalorian, which character would you prefer and why? Oof. And then there's a note here from Emily Lind on the Patreon saying, tread carefully, Saunders. Now, for those that don't know, Emily Lind of the Canto Bite Dispatch, who's currently a few weeks into complaining that I haven't sent her in a question that I promised to send in to her show. So save that. I might do it next, Emily, after I've recorded this, just quietly. So I love Mendo and Toro Calican. I think they're both great. Mendo, who was Director Krennic in Rogue One. Now, Emily really likes Mendo as well, as much as I. It's not a competition, though. She has the opposite taste for Toro. So she's warning me here. She wants Mendo back, basically. However, Emily and Michael and you, the listener, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with Toro. I'm going to go with Toro. But hear me out. We can't get Mendo back because Ben Mendelsohn, the amazing actor behind Director Krennic, and also if you have not listened to my interview with him, what are you doing? Super fun. An hour chatting with Ben Mendelsohn. The best. Ben Mendelsohn will be far too busy as he's filming on the Cassian show. So how's he going to be in both? Huh? Hey? Answer me that. See, I weaseled my way out of that perfectly. Pleasing everyone, or not everyone, because people don't want Toro in The Mandalorian Season 2. I would love for him to come back. He could be the Kenny each season. He comes back and gets killed, seemingly, you know, and then returns in Season 3. Spider Calican, hey? Let's do it. But Mendo appearing in the Cassian show, strangely, when he was younger at the start of Rogue One, he seemed older than in the other scenes. Not sure what's up with that. But there you go. I would bring back Toro. He fits the storyline, and Mendo doesn't matter. Moot point, because I'm also getting Mendo hired on the Cassian show, because Michael seems to think, has some knowledge that I'm getting some sweet role at Lucasfilm very soon to control casting and control stories, actually. Control fan service. I'm the head. I'm the fan service cadet. Brandon Baker. Hey, Steele. I hope you and your family are well. We are well. Thank you, Brandon. We have our health and most of the time our sanity in these times. I have just read that Disney Plus is adding the Fox X-Men and Fantastic Four movies. Do you think this has any impact on the likelihood of adding alternate Star Wars content that doesn't count? E.g. Hey, mate. Star Wars content that doesn't count. Examples, Ewok movies. What do you mean? Don't count. Star Cruiser. That's my Star Wars, buddy. Come on. Ewok movies, Pen and Ink Clone Wars, Ewoks cartoon, Droids cartoon, Detours, etc. I remember back in 2012 that someone, perhaps Seth Green, mentioned that Detours was put on the shelf. I don't know. I don't want to cause an issue here, Brandon. And this would have made a great Seinfeld bit in 1978. But is it in the shelf or on the shelf? Put stuff in the cupboard. I feel like you put stuff on the shelf. Anyway. But either way, it's now positioned on the Lucasfilm shelf somewhere. In it, on it. It's not next to it. All right? It's not. It's in the middle. Anyway, it was put there, according to Seth Green, maybe, because they did not want to confuse fans with the original timeline story. Why do you think Lucasfilm is so reluctant to share hashtag content, even if it is not part of their official story? Okay, I think the actual, and this may have come from Seth Green, but the story was they didn't want to dilute the characters in such a way. You know, they want to do a Darth Vader movie, or the, you know, they've got Darth Vader in Rogue One. And they didn't want him to be some comedic buffoon in this cartoon at the same time. Which I'm, if you are new to the podcast, detours, no buys. The clips that they put online, that did not appeal to my sense of humor. The sort of the Paris Hilton-esque, you know, cliched, like Princess Leia character. Ugh. Not for me. So I am fascinated to watch it. But I got to be honest with you. I just want to watch it myself. Like, just get like, here's a download, sneaky little cheeky download in my DMs. Then it get put on Disney Plus. This is very selfish because I don't want to listen to people talk about how they like it. I am, this is some, what is it, Fahrenheit 457 or is it 457? Anyway, sort of business. I want to burn the material. But I would watch it just out of interest. And I'm sure some of it would appeal to some, you know, I'd have to laugh. I'd have to, wouldn't I? But, you know, when it is for some people, for the less evolved of us, it is annoying at different levels to see people rave on about things that you not only don't like actively don't like. Like, I'm not neutral. I'm against it. So, yeah. But do I think that I think it has a little bit of a help having the Fox X-Men and Fantastic Four movies on Disney Plus because it shows they are adding things. I'm not sure if some contract thing with Netflix or Hulu or HBO just ended and that's why it's there now, or they've just gotten around to doing it. But, you know, it definitely ups the percentage of chance because they are adding stuff. Why the Ewok movies are not up there, just baffling. It's as Disney Star Wars as you could get in a, you know, It is the most Disneyfied Star Wars tale. Little teddy bears just running around in a field, having fun. Watch out for that lake. Very dangerous. Very scary. Could really leave an impact on the rest of your life if you saw that scene when you were a little boy. Was it Lake Ewok? I don't know, but very dangerous. Don't go near the lake. Do not touch. Don't put a stick in that lake. Please do not. Very dangerous. Oh, no, the stick got him out. So have a magic stick. Yeah, always, almost in any situation in life, if you have an opportunity to bring a magic stick, do it. So, yeah, I am baffled to why they don't have those up. Likewise, Pen and Ink Clone Wars, the Terrors... Where was his name? Doesn't matter. It does matter, but it's not worth the energy. Teriyaki? Terizoski? I don't know. But those early little skits, they're very stylized by the guy, what did he do? Like Samurai Jack or something like that. Why they aren't up there? Zero idea. Ewoks cartoon, droids cartoon. I have no idea why they're not up there. it's like, you know, maybe the cartoons, they didn't have good enough quality of version, but I'm sure it's the same thing for, you know, all the cartoons on streaming services that were made in the 80s, same quality. I would imagine it would be the best possible quality, better than what you could watch on YouTube. And, yeah, do you know what I mean? I don't need my 4K Princess Kanisa. It can just be regular. And Detours, I kind of feel like...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
They all might end up there one day, including Detours. And I, you know, do put up one of these things every 2 or 3 months and make a little 20-minute introduction documentary sort of, I remember when I watched this and I'm a Star Wars personality or I'm in Star Wars. And I think that'd be pretty cool, you know, and have everyone like, create a bit of buzz. Don't put them all out at once, but create a real buzz about like this Sunday night we're premiering Ewoks, A Caravan of Courage. And then, you know, this is what we do. All the podcasts and YouTubers would, not all of them, but a lot of them were just looking for something to do. Like, oh, let's cover this. This would be good fun. Let's tweet about this. And, you know, it takes such little effort. So I just can't imagine until I hear a reason why they wouldn't all end up there, apart from Detours. Do you know what I mean? And then, you know, the holiday special, you know, may put up the bit that everyone wants to see, which is the animated portion. Make a little clip around that. I don't think the whole thing will ever be up there because, you know, just out of respect to George Lucas, and, you know, he doesn't want it up there. So I think that is fair enough. Ian, thank you, Brandon, by the way. Good question. Ian Gallagher, what are your thoughts on Lost Seasons 1 and 3 versus 4 and 6? What I mean is, I think Lost becomes Lost at Season 4. And that's when it gets wild. What are your thoughts? Ian, excellent question, by the way. As you probably know, as I have mentioned it quite a few times, particularly on Star Wars U by podcast, I feel like with Hawes, because Hawes is such a lost guy. His cat is named Dharma. Come on. That's hardcore, as they chant in the old ECW. Lost reference into a wrestling reference. That is pure Steel Wars magic right there, inverted commas. But, so I'm season 5, towards the end of our Isolation Lost rewatch. And first up, we are having the best time watching these episodes. So good. It's such a compelling show. And the ending, which we haven't got into the somewhat misunderstood and controversial final season. And I'm knowing how it ends in the main series, I'm very interested to have my first rewatch of that season, knowing how it ends And because I have to say, I watched it pretty convincingly, thoroughly on when it first aired. Like I would watch the new episode and then I would listen to, you know, maybe four podcasts before, you know, the following episode of Lost. So I was pretty invested in following like all the clues and stuff like that. I never went and searched for it online. I'd listen to like the Jay and Jack show. That was the main one, the most memorable one. And I would go, they would do shows at Comic Con, and I went to a couple of those and got to meet them, and they were super nice. But the second time round, having a pretty comprehensive knowledge of everything, just loving it, loving how the pieces are getting slotted together. And, you know, one of the main gripes about All Lost is like, oh, they never answered this, that, or the other. And I disagree, because knowing what I know is going to come in the show with what I've just watched, I feel like everything's getting answered. Like, if you're paying attention, and maybe it needs that second rewatch to look for those things about like the smoke monster and all that good stuff. But as for your thoughts on 1 to 3 by 4 to 6, I think it's from a certain point of view, because for me, 1 to 3, particularly 1 to 2, you know, 3 is where, you know, you get Nikki and Polo and the episode where Jack flies a kite. Some kind of treading water episodes. So it sort of does let the slide down. But 1 and 2, the characters are just so well written and composed, and I guess it's having those flashbacks to tell you more things about the characters, but they build up each of these characters so well. Where when me and Jackie always talk about who's your favorite character, it's tough because they're so compelling. Like Saeed is just killing the game. He's actually added to the lingo around here. He gets told something quite amazing. Yeah, might be in season 4. And he just looks back and goes, fascinating. So me and Jackie, someone will say something. And as a friendly rib, we will go back to the other person and go, fascinating. It's good fun. We're having a great time here in isolation in 2020. But I kind of think 1 to 3 to me is, that's like, that's Lost to me. Like 4 to 6 is insane. Like 4 to 5 is crazy. I haven't got to 6 yet. And I know from memory things get even loopier. But it is, like, I'm trying not to say too much, because if you haven't watched it, I want to keep it clear. But if you enjoy Star Wars and you haven't seen Lost, I reckon you're going to like it. Give it a shot. I actually, for everyone that has seen it, in season 5, the last episode we watched last night was the Empire Strikes Back episode. And if you're familiar, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But very, very fun. But But there are, particularly in the Empire Strikes Back episode, some good Star Wars references throughout. So, yeah, I agree. Like, past season four, it does get wild. But it is so different. It becomes so concept heavy from season, you know, 4, 5, 6, whereas 1 to 3 was like really character based. And how they, you know, they did that investment in the characters in the first particularly 2 seasons. And later on it pays off when, because there is so many characters in this show. It's like there's like 20 main characters. When they new combinations team up, or sometimes you don't even realize that two main characters haven't seen each other for months at a time and then they're reunited. Oh, man, it's so rewarding. Such a good show. So, yeah, for me, I think Lost, classic Lost to me is classic Lost, episodes 1 to 3. But I'm loving 4 to 6. It is so different, though. But it's interesting that's when you think Lost becomes Lost. Because I think a lot of people, well, not like, you know, some people I spoke to, they were, once I got into those seasons, it was just like, oh, it's just too much. And they sort of, rather than looking into it and trying to find out how it did make sense, sort of, you know, blew it off because it got so convoluted. But I love the convolution. Man, oh, the episode I just watched. So the Empire Strikes Back episode is the episode with Eleanor doing what she has to do. And if you can remember what I'm talking about, oh my God, just some fascinating stuff. So, yeah. That is on my thoughts on Lost's 1 to 3 to 4 to 6. But I can't wait. I've got like a season and a half to watch, which, you know, I felt like I watched the first 2 seasons a couple of times, so I was pretty familiar with it. But I am in one viewing territory and one viewing from, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. So, oh, man, I'm just having so much fun watching this. It's just great just to have seemingly unlimited supply of such a sweet show that you can really get your teeth in and follow all the different storylines, and it pays off. So, yeah, I feel like when I get to the end of it, I'm going to love it more than ever. But we will see. We will see. So that is it for the ep. As mentioned on the next Q&A, I will tackle everyone's thoughts and feelings about the scoring The Rise of Skywalker episodes. We've already got a bunch of submissions that I'm looking forward to getting into. And if you've got a comment or a question or a score that you want to have discussed on the next episode, just hit the comment section on this episode. There will be a link to the Patreon page in the show notes of this ep. So if you just click on the, go for info and there'll be a link. You can click it and that will take you direct to the Patreon page, or just log in on Patreon, the Patreon app actually, the Patreon app. For our iPhone is it's pretty good. So do that. And if you are a new patron, make sure you get your exclusive little RSS feed that you can paste into your podcast app of choice. And then all the bonus content will download immediately, just like any other podcast. And you can access all the 600 plus episodes through that feed that is it's in the top right hand corner of the web page when you log in. And you get all the bonus content for just the $3 a month tier. And this is a all-access episode. So if you want to have more Q&A, if you want to hear all the Page Wars episodes with me and Tom Chansky talking about Star Wars comics and books, all the Star Wars Year By podcasts with me and Hawes talking about Star Wars history, super fun. And of course, the Robbo Report, which we just put up a new Robbo Report this week with us discussing all things Star Wars that Robbo's been up to in the last month. His tries to scare me with his tales of poison Ewoks, and then we do a watch through of The Mandalorian Episode 6, The Prisoner. So that's all fun. So yeah, if you need some extra content, you want to support the show, $3 will get you access to a growing library of 600 plus podcasts for the month. And your support is so, so appreciated. Truly is. And tomorrow or the next day, a bit of sizzle, I'll be doing a interview with Yak Face, talking about his fandom and his toy website and Star Wars collecting. You know, he's normally the one that's breaking all the news and rumors about Hasbro 3¾-inch and 6-inch Black Series. So we'll be digging in on that. So look forward to that episode. And I've also lined up next week's interview guest as well. Someone from the Disney Star Wars films will be joining us. So that should be super fun. Until then, enjoy that sizzle. Give us some comments about the Rise of Skywalker act. Give us some comments about the Rise of Skywalker scoring. And may that force be with you.
Ben Mendelsohn, right?
Yeah.
I'm just confirming.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.